But there was a book that I was reminded of, and it's this one, right? Everyone's read this book? Are You My Mother? Yeah? I'm still asking myself that question. I'm just kidding. Don't tell my mom that. But, shh, don't tell my mom. But as you read the story, you have, you know, this little egg and a nest, right? I promise I won't read the whole story to you, right? And his mama flies away because she's needing to get something to eat. And lo and behold, he hatches. So just like we are when we're at the grocery store and we lose our mama, mama, right? So he looks up and he looks around. He doesn't see her. So what happens? He, well, walks off and falls down, right? And so he goes around and he's looking and he's trying to find his mom. And so he's asking a cat that was my gum. So he's asking a cat if he's, you know, if that's his mom, and the cat doesn't say anything. The cat just looks at him. He asks a chicken. He asks at some point a bulldozer, a boat, right? And no one responds to him, right? They all either respond, no, I'm a cat, I'm a dog, I'm a cow. And the machines just make noises. So he goes around and he asks himself, well, where's my mom? And towards the end of the story, he finally finds his mom, right? But there was something funny because I was thinking about that. And a lot of my conversations lately have been within that realm of identity, of finding our identity, of asking ourselves, well, who am I, right? And so I was thinking and I was realizing, especially lately with the news, and just seeing a lot of my friends or a lot of people I just have on Facebook or social media just post things and post their stance on all of these political things and all of these things that are going on. And so we take a stance because of the color of our skin. We take a stance because of our academic level, like, oh, I'm smarter than you, so I know more, which isn't always true. My sister reminds me of it all the time. Our financial status, oh, I make more money than you do, and you make nothing, so who are you to tell me anything? Our political stances, and we even try to find our identity based off of the things that we own or the people that are in our lives. So we find it within for those of you who are married, in your spouse, in your kids, the person that you're dating, in your family, in your friends, or anything that has a beating pulse, right? Anything that gives you the attention, you want to find your identity in them. And I'm not saying that these things aren't important. I'm not saying that relationships and school isn't important, because if I don't say that now, I know I'm going to get the death glare. But I say this in the sense of these things are important all and when they're in their proper place. These things in themselves, the people, the things, they're not our end goal. They are not our means. They are not our source. Because if we make people and things our means of life, then we live a life trying to measure up to a certain identity with the hopes that that person's going to turn around or that thing's going to turn around and be like, yeah, you're one of us, right? We go to soccer games or sports games and we wear the jersey, right? So we're part of the team. We want to desperately be part of something because we're hardwired to belong somewhere. But we think that these things and these people bring us our fulfillment and our satisfaction. We believe that these things and these people bring us our source of being. But the reality is that if we live this way, we will never find rest. We will never find fulfillment. We will never find satisfaction because people and things are never meant or were never meant to be our source, right? So if we believe God to be God, should not we also believe that he has called us to himself and to be his and that we can only find fulfillment in him? Let us open our Bibles up to 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10. And as you're looking, I want to establish something real quick. In the Old Testament, we see God call a physical nation, right? We see God call Israel, and he calls them out of Egypt. He redeems them. He provides for them, and he gives them a promise. And yet, as we read in the Old Testament, and as we've read in our classes, our Sunday school classes, we see that they consistently fail, right? We see that Israel is doing the very thing that we do today. They look to the other nations and want to be just like them, right? You get to the point where they see everyone else have a king and they want a king, right? They're like, well, we want to be like everybody else. They have a king, we want a king, because clearly, even though you're king, you're not enough for us. We want a physical king here among us, right? You get to Judges and they live this cycle and God establishes them and God makes a promise with them and they fall, right? Because they're looking towards everyone else but up, right? So they are at a horizontal view and never at a vertical view. And we find ourselves doing the same thing. We find ourselves looking towards the horizontal. We look within our relationships. We look within social media. We look towards celebrities, and we look towards things to give us our fulfillment. There's actually an account on Instagram that I find hilarious and I find also sad. It's called Preacher Sneakers, right? And so this guy calls out these pastors who wear up towards $2,000 shoes, right? Some of them are hideous. I'm like, I don't know why you would spend $2,000 on that. But it's crazy because, and it's not to say that they're not allowed to spend their money the way they want to spend their money. I'm not saying that if you like something, you can't buy it. But the reality is that you see all of these people and they're following a trend, right? Even these men who are supposedly men of God, I'm not trying to discredit them or anyway, but they too find themselves in an era or in a way of wanting to fit in with everybody else. So I wear sneakers just like everybody else. I wear the designer clothes just like everybody else. I know all the latest dance moves and all that. Don't ask me because I don't. But, you know, we find ourselves always trying to keep up with what's new because we want to fit in with everybody else. So Israel's doing the same thing. Israel finds themselves looking to other nations because they want everything but God. They want to give everything else a place but God. God establishes them and God wants to be first in their life. God wants to take the rightful place in their hearts. But they seek their identity and they seek to please other things before God. Let us read 1 Peter 2, 9 through 10, and it says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is my only Avengers quote of the day. I thought of Thor when he was just like, Asgard is not a place, it's a people, right? So we are not a place, we are a people. But we read this and we see very clearly what God has called us. He's called us a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and he's called us his, right? So going back, we go, well, I identify here because I'm Hispanic. I identify here because I'm female. I identify here because I can hang with these. I honestly can't. I try to hang with the folks in my class. I'm like, y'all are too smart for me. But I identify here because academically we're at this level. I identify here because I'm a Republic, a Democratic, a Libertarian, whatever stance that you take. We're constantly trying to fit ourselves within certain boxes because we think that that's what we ought to do. We think that God has just called in the Hispanics, right? Because we were baked, right? Everyone else is either baked easy or burnt, is what my friend would tell me. We think that God just chose a certain amount of people, a certain color, a certain level of status, but that's not the case. God died for everyone, regardless of our race, regardless of our political stance, regardless of our financial status. So we have to understand and know who we are in God. So we are his chosen race, we are his royal priesthood, and we are his holy nation. But likewise, we are his, right? He calls us to him, and he calls us his. We all bear the image of God, right? Genesis 1, 26 through 27 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created, he created them. Male and female, he created them. When we understand and believe that we were created by God and for God, then we begin to live differently, right? So when we fully understand who God is, not just, oh yeah, there's a God, but we understand who God is universally, and when we understand who he is relationally to us, then our lives are lived differently. Just last night, I had a friend going, "I can't believe this person keeps posting this stuff. I can't believe this person keeps posting this stuff." And I was just like, yeah, I don't get it either. I was just like, I don't know how this person allows both things to exist in their lives when clearly Scripture states, I was just like, that these things are wrong, but they consistently fall forward and they consistently think it's hilarious and all these good and all that good stuff. And I'm not saying that I don't fall, and I'm not trying to say that I'm perfect. I fall as well. But when we understand who we are before God, then we live and we strive to be different. We don't tend to be the same person that we were before, right? Because we understand that if God has sent his son to die for us and we have placed our belief in him, then the old has passed and the new has come, right? Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Through him and for him. You know, we can take, and we're not going to go down this rabbit trail, but we can take the stance a lot of people like to take, that Jesus only came when he was born, that Jesus only started existing when he came as a baby and he was born. But the reality is, and we can talk about it another day, that Jesus has always existed within the Trinity with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Because if you just read John, you understand that he has been in the beginning, and that through him all things were made, and for him all things were made, right? So we have to understand these things. We have to understand who God is, who the Son is, and who the Holy Spirit is. Because when we understand these things, when we understand who the Trinity is, even though it is hard to hard to exactly accurately speak on a God who is infinite and indescribable. And I've gotten into this conversation with people when we talk about things, when we talk about songs, right? We have these songs and you're just like, "Ooh, they were so close, but they kind of missed the mark." But I'm like, the irony is sometimes we find ourselves trying to describe a God who's indescribable, right? We sing a song, indescribable, right? So it's funny because you're trying to describe someone who goes way beyond our comprehension, right? Because we're finite individuals. But the beauty is that he makes himself known. He makes himself personal and relatable to us. So this isn't a, well, he's way beyond me, so therefore I can't comprehend and therefore I have nothing to do with him. No, God is beyond us and he is also with us. So since we know that we were created by God and for God, then we should also bear in his likeness. If we all have the image of God within us, then we also all share in his likeness, in the sense of that we live lives that are an example of who he is, right? So we live and we strive to be just like Christ. We share in his likeness, right? Let us be imitators of the one who calls us his. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16 says, "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. When's the last time we heard that one? Leviticus 19:2. I know we studied Leviticus 19 like 2 Sundays ago. Well, in my class last Sunday, right? But he who is holy has called us to be holy. And that's the, we got into it in class because I said, God's not concerned about our happiness. God's concerned for our holiness. If he was concerned for our happiness, then we could live lives pleasing our fleshly desires because God's just like, okay, she's happy. You know, so it's out of my will, but she's happy. That's okay. Right? No, God's concerned about our holiness. Therefore, he's going to remove the things that are obstacles in our lives that are not pleasing to him and are hindering our relationship to him. And it's hard because we tend to take ownership over things and people and are like, no, Lord, I don't want you to remove this person from my life. But the Lord's like, hey, it's either I'm first or she's first. I mean, it's either I'm first or he's first, right? I jokingly always tell my sister, I said, okay, I've had enough of your children. I stay a little bit longer, they're going to become small idols in my life. So I leave her, and she's always just like, you're such a mess. And I was like, it's true, your kids are beautiful. And I said, I'm like a foot away from worshiping them. If you haven't seen my niece and nephew, they're beautiful little beings. So you should see them and appreciate them the way I appreciate them. But he calls us to be holy. He doesn't call us to this happiness that we think we ought to strive for. We think that if God's in it for our happiness, then, I have to have this because this is going to make me happy, right? I have to be married because this is going to make me happy. I have to have kids because this is going to make me happy. I have to be whatever it is that you're studying to be or striving to be because this is going to bring ultimate satisfaction in my life. I have to be making this much money at the end of the year so, you know, I can live this bougie life. I had told my cousin that because she was trying to go out. We were trying to go out and she was making plans. And I was like, look, I'm not bougie. I'm very simple. You can take me to Burger King and I'll be happy. And she's just like, we're not going to Burger King, Sandra. And I was just, okay. I was just like, whatever it is. We get to a restaurant and she goes, you are simple. You ordered the most basic thing on here. And I was just like, what do you want? It's food. But you know, we live lives thinking that these things and these people are our source of happiness. And sure, momentarily, they may provide this happiness that we want. You know, ooh, so-and-so is paying attention to me. I love that. Right? We love to think that we're the center of everyone's universe. But the reality is that we live a life making everyone else our center. Right? We think and we strive to be the center of the universe, but in actuality, we live lives that makes everyone else and every other thing the center of our universe. So we aren't the center of the universe. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2 says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, right? So as we've read in the Old Testament and as we see these sacrifices and we see and we've talked in class and we've discussed, it's like, man, dude, if I had to like go kill a lamb every single time I sin, I wouldn't have lambs. Because I tend to sin a lot sometimes, knowingly. Well, no, all of it is knowingly. But anyways, but we have a mediator. We have someone who took on sin on our behalf, right, and was the sufficient sacrifice that God was looking for, right? Because as you see, and we read in the Old Testament, or we've been reading, you know, when we read and we see that they had to do this yearly, monthly, daily, you're just like, man, that's exhausting, right? Because at any time, God can just be like, nope, this is it. You know, this wasn't enough for me this year, right? But he gives us his son, and he says, with him I am pleased. With him, the sacrifice is sufficient to forgive our sins. We think of the multitude of people that live on earth and the people who have been before and the people who will come after and the fact that his blood covers every single generation is beyond me. But God called us his through the sacrifice of his son and not through people and things. The people and the things do not save us. They don't give us assurance. When we make it about people and things, again, we believe that it's because they're going to fulfill me and they're going to make me this little king or queen, right? But we live as peasants. We live as servants trying to make them in actuality the king and queen, right? Just a minute ago before the service started, I was sharing how we tend to lower our expectations with strangers, but we raise them with our family members and our friends, right? So I'm expecting my sister to do these things for me. And the moment she doesn't do them for me, all hell breaks loose, right? All the cussing and the fighting begins. We don't really cuss because she'll slap me if I do. But as an example, right? If my mom, right, her desires are or any mother, their desires are strange for their children, and I'm like, that's cool, that's your desire, not mine, right? And so we begin to fight because I'm not fulfilling her desires, right? You have marriages and you have people going against each other because the moment that person stopped fulfilling me, the moment that person stopped providing what I wanted, I start losing it, right? I go bananas. So it's so funny to me how we think we're the center of the universe, but in reality, we're not, because we make everything else the center of our universe in order to think that we're the center of the universe. People and things are constantly changing, but God remains the same. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1:8 through 12 says, "But of the Son he says, 'Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, O Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment, like a robe you will roll them up, like a garment that will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will have no end.'" People and things come and go, right? Every day I have to remind myself, one day my younger sister is going to leave this earth, and maybe before me, and it's going to suck. But it's the reality. She's human. She's going to die, right? People and things are going to change. Things in themselves, right? Why are we always looking for the latest iPhone when our iPhone works perfectly, right? Because, ooh, it's prettier, or ooh, the screen's bigger, or ooh, the camera works better, right? I mean, it's nice. You want to have good quality pictures, but at the same time, like, do you really want to live a life that's just broke because you're depending on this iPhone, right? We get the latest shoes. We're always into the latest trends because my nephew loves Fortnite. I don't understand that game. You can try to explain it to me and I still don't get it. And he's constantly going, "Tia, give me some money. I need some V-Bucks." And I'm like, "What's this for? Why do you need this money?" Right? He's like, "Because I need to get this." And I'm like, "Dude, I'd rather, like, let's go out. Let's go spend this $30 doing something else." "No, I got to spend it on my game." And I'm like, "Well, I got no money then." Right? But for all you Fortnite lovers, I just don't get it. right? So sadly, we live lives that are aiming to be everything they were never meant to be. In the sense of, we live these lives thinking that I have to obtain this because then I will be somebody. Then I will have made it. Then I will have achieved it. We live this life believing in the American dream. I got to be married. I have to have 4 kids. I have to have the little dog and the white picket fence and the 2-story house and the BMW, right? I have to make this much money. And then and only then have I made it, right? And so we live these lives thinking that we ought to achieve these things. And when in reality, these things are all great and fine, but they were never meant to be who we are, right? We live lives that are constantly seeking to be content and satisfied. Once I have this, it will be enough, right? So you get there, and what happens? No. Once I have this, then it will be enough. And then what happens? No. Once I get here, it will be enough, right? The Lord gives you your spouse. The Lord gives you your child. And you're just like, well, maybe one more child and then we'll be complete, right? Maybe one more child and then we'll be complete, right? My sister told that to my brother-in-law and he goes, woman, we're getting old. You need to stop. And so she's like, but it's an uneven number now. And he's just like, I don't care. I'm old. Right? But so we live these lives trying to find contentment and satisfaction in these things and in these people. And at the end of the day, they don't bring us anything because we're just like, okay, this was it. And now I need more, right? You see addicts, right? I don't have a problem. Yeah, you do, buddy. You're on your, like, 5th beer and it's only 10 in the morning. I don't have a problem. Yeah, you do. You've gone through 3 packs and it's only 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, you got up at 3 to go smoke. I think you have a problem. Right? So we live these lives thinking, oh, this, when I get to this, it will be enough. When I get here, it will be enough, right? Philippians 4, 10 through 13. Paul teaches us something about being content. And it says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now, at length, you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Now that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, right? That quote is so always used out of context. Anything that comes right, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah, buddy, but that's not exactly what Jesus was saying, right? But Paul learns this art or this state of being, right? He's in incarcerated and he's writing to the Philippians and he's telling them these things. You know, I'm grateful that y'all are giving and I'm still grateful when y'all can't. I understand these things, right? I understand how to be with and I learned how to be without, right? He knows in regardless of any circumstances, God is still God. And God is still sovereign, and God is still in control, and God will provide in any way means he sees fit, right? So we teach this idea that you gotta love the Lord with all your heart, and you gotta have the right attitude, and then the Lord's gonna provide for you, right? And when we live that way, then we think that as long as I'm doing what I need to do, as long as I have the right attitude, you're supposed to bless me, right? And the moment that we see that God's not blessing me, it's like, wait a minute. I did all these things. I did, you know, I went to church on Sunday and I helped La Hermana even though she gets on my nerves, you know, kind of thing. I whatever excuse you want to give, and it's like, you're supposed to give me my blessings, right? We live lives thinking that God lives to serve us and not the other way around. We see Paul come to learn what it means to be content in whatever means. He knows that his contentment is sourced in God because he knows who God is, right? It's not through the people and the things. He knows how to give thanks in all things. But we live in a society that teaches us that people and things should operate for us. That more is better, and until we obtain X, Y, and Z, we will never make it. We don't know how to be satisfied in what we have because, again, our satisfaction comes only from God and nothing else, right? Or no one else. So when I make my source people and things, then I'm constantly going to be looking for more. But when I make God my source of being, then everything else falls in its place because I say, God, you provide and you know what's best for me. So regardless if you choose to bless me or not, you're still God, right? Sadly, we're being taught a gospel that is completely opposite from the real gospel, right? We talk about the prosperity gospel, and we tend to think of it just as a financial thing, but it's to me, it's a gospel that teaches us about me, me, and me. How do I move forward? How do I obtain this? What do I get out of this? Again, we go back to, because I've done these things, you ought to bless me, right? Again, if you have not watched this documentary, please do so. It's so great, and it teaches us just how embedded into the American culture the prosperity gospel is, and how so many people go to church on Sunday believing in this because this is what they're being taught. And if you want to look at it, it's called American Gospel in Christ Alone. The first half of it is on YouTube for free, so at least watch the first half. But it's so great. It really is. It opened my eyes, and my friend and I had a really great discussion about it because we were just like, oh my gosh, it's so crazy how even though I always debunk this, like how easy it is for me to fall into this belief, right? We search our identity in everything but God, right? We think that the blessings in themselves are our identity. And you know, if the Lord doesn't give me this, then who am I at the end of the day? We live a life believing that God lives to serve me because there is something good in me, right? Oh, because I'm like awesome, Lord, you know, because I'm the bomb.com. I would use my mom's phrase, but it's not appropriate. y'all can go ask her later and be like, what is it that you say when you think that someone is the stuff, right? When they think they're like the most like best thing on the face of the earth, and hopefully she responds to you, or I'll tell you later. But we live these lives thinking like, oh, because I'm this person and because I'm so great, therefore that's why God died for me. And that's totally wrong. That's completely wrong. Nowhere in the Bible does it teaches us that he dies because we're some good thing, right? He teaches us to do good things, but not because we in ourselves are good, right? So it baffles me that on Sunday mornings, there are preachers, there are teachers that teach this very thing. And people go, amen. We shout and we jump and we're like, yeah, I'm good. And I'm like, no, you're not. You know, the real gospel, the true gospel teaches us that it's about Christ, that Christ died for our sins, accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in a accordance with the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Read 1 Corinthians 15. You have the gospel right then and there. Jesus did this not because we deserve it, not because we earn it. Nothing that we do amounts to us receiving this. He does this to demonstrate his love and his mercy and his attributes all at once, right? Where he is in his rightful place to judge us and to say that we are condemned and that we deserve hell, he goes, you know what? I'm going to show you my love and my mercy. I'm going to show you my grace, right? I'm not going to send you to hell. I'm going to give you my son. As long as you believe in him, you have eternity, right? But we live these lives thinking it's because I did something, right, that we deserve God or that God deserves us. Dude, you're nobody. You're nothing. If you didn't already tell, it really bothers me to my core when people say stuff like that. It's because of his grace that we are unified to the Father. It's because of his grace that he brings us into unity with God. It's through Jesus' sacrifice that we have unity with God. 1 Peter 3, he teaches us that, right? We can go there if you want. So you don't think that I'm just saying these things just to say these things. For it is better, 2 Peter, that's not 2 Peter 3:17. And I have completely lost. Nope. 1 Peter 3:18. I was thinking it was 17, It's not 17, it's 18. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. It's only through Jesus and by Jesus that we can inherit God's kingdom. Not because we deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because the Father wants to demonstrate his love in this way to us. That even though we were still sinners, Jesus died for us, right? So that we may be unified to the Father, right? And that we may live lives that abide by the Spirit. All because Jesus is our sole and sufficient Savior. We think that he's the only one who saves, but we don't tend to think that his death on the cross and his resurrection was sufficient. So therefore, I live my life adding to his grace when God's like, you don't got to do that. I don't know why you're doing this. Nothing that you do is going to add to my grace. I do these things because I want to make you mine. Not because you're good, but because I'm good. Not because I need your love, but because I want to love you. Our faith in Jesus provides our fellowship with the Father as we abide by his Spirit. Sadly, we live lives aiming to be everything we were never meant to be. Sadly, we live lives going opposed toward to the scripture, to his word, to who God is, because it's like, yeah, it's all great and fine, but once I hit 40, then I'll get right with the Lord. It's like, how do you know you're going to make it to 40, you know? Last night, I prayed for my friend to make it to 200 years, because she prayed that I would make it to 100, and I was like, oh, I'll trump you. You're going to make it to 200 so you can be on this earth for 100 years without me. That's not how the Lord works. But we live lives that are aiming to be everything we were never meant to be. God has called us. God has redeemed us. God has made us his, and that's all we ought to be. That is the only area in your life you have to operate, is being next to the Father, being in fellowship with the Father, seeking his presence, and being his, knowing that you are his, and everything else falls into place. When my relationship here is right, then my relationship here is going to be far better, right? But Sandra, there are some people that just get on my nerves. I know, believe me, I know. But God doesn't say, I don't care. But there's a meme out there, right? That says, God, love my people. But God, did I stutter, right? So I'm just like, okay, I get it. I need to work in that area of my life. I need to give it over to you. I get it, right? As we aim to know God, we gain understanding of who we are. As we begin to know who God is, we truly begin to know who we are. As we seek the presence of God, then people and things are enjoyed correctly because of our relationship in our understanding of God. So I'm able to enjoy the things that God gives me, the people that he brings into my life, because of my relationship with him. So therefore, when these things and these people are removed, I'm still found in him, right? Because at no point did I make my identity based off of these people and these things, right? My sister went away for the weekend with her friends, and my mom's just like, why are you sad? Y'all are y'all's people. Y'all need to learn how to live on y'all's own. Yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, but she's my sister. What am I supposed to do without her? And she's like, you have two other sisters. Go hang out with them. And I'm like, Don't tell them that. But as we aim to know him, we gain understanding of who we are. As we seek the presence of God, then people and things are enjoyed correctly because of our relationship in and our understanding of God. As we seek the Father through Jesus by the guidance of the Spirit, we understand that we are a chosen race, we are a royal priesthood, we are a holy nation, and above all things, we are his. Let us pray. Father God, I give you thanks for this morning, and I give you thanks just for the time that we have together, God. God, I pray that you would forgive us, Father, for the sins that we commit, the fact that we strive to be everything but yours, God. We strive to be just like our friends, our family member, celebrities that don't even know us, God. We try to find our identity in these things, God. But I pray that as you speak into our lives, God, that we would fully comprehend who you are, and that we would fully comprehend who you are personally to us, God, that you have made yourself known to everyone, and you make yourself known to us. God, I pray likewise that we would understand that you have called us, that you have redeemed us, Father God, and that you have made us yours. I pray that we would live lives that would demonstrate that, God, that would demonstrate that we abide by your Spirit because of the sacrifice of your Son as we seek to have fellowship with you, God. God, I just pray just for our lives that it wouldn't just be a show on a Sunday, God, but that our lives in and out of these four walls would demonstrate who you are. Would demonstrate who you are to our family, our friends, and strangers, God, that are living in a world that is teaching them opposite of who you are, and that they are withering away trying to be something they're not. In you, Father God, we find our rest, we find our satisfaction, Father, and we find our fulfillment. I would pray that we would believe that, God, that we would know that, and that we would live that. And I pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.